Welcome to Quillsword Blogcast. Division, Derision, and Devolution. The Middle East version. Growing pains only with guns and insanely overly complex cultures. The next 50 years are going to be way more interesting than anyone in the Middle East is going to like. America makes it look so easy from the outside. We blend cultures, ideas, and peoples like a tapestry. What the rest of the world doesn't see is all the knots in the back. They don't notice the times we rip out the messed up sections to weave in new ones. On top, we have the most over-the-top decision-making tree. We mostly make those decisions by fussing and fuming. Little wonder everyone thinks we're crazy. Heck, maybe we even are. A little bit. The point is that the sausage-making mess actually ends up making sausage. Okay, we wreck half the kitchen doing it, but we still end up with a pretty decent sausage. And then we have to clean up the kitchen, and by the end, everyone outside thinks our house is a beautiful tapestry. They have no idea how messed up that kitchen door is that we're hiding behind that tapestry. Eventually, we straighten that out in time for the next round of sausage making. The American system is nothing if not messy, but it works for us, and we like it. The Middle East has nothing comparable. The tapestry that hides their many messy divisions has so many holes it hides their unity more than it hides their disunity. They slap a coat of Islam paint on it and call it a day. Hey, America has days like that, too. The difference is we eventually get in there and actually clean up. The Middle East slaps on more paint. 100 years later and you end up with a bit of a problem. Ever seen a window painted shut to the point that it's going to be easier to just remove the window than the paint? That's pretty much where the Middle East is, except they painted over the broken glass as well as the window frame. They know it's a mess, but even they have no clue just how bad the thing really is. It's probably going to be easier to take down the whole wall. Easier, but a lot more painful. The Middle East has stabilized over the last 20 years. The U.S. kind of made that a non-optional thing, but there's a very big question as to how deep that stability really runs. Outside looking in, there are indications that the average Muhammad would just as soon forget the whole Unite the Arab World thing and the whole Jihad thing in favor of just being able to live without the worry of instability or nut jobs with guns destroying even more territory and lives. You wouldn't know it from most of the man-on-the-street interviews done by Al Jazeera. They manage to find every raving lunatic they can get in front of a camera. As a southerner, I know better than accept that at face value. Jeff Foxworthy was right. The media only ever interviewed upset women in moo-moos, at least in the South. Whenever Al Jazeera gets a sane person by mistake, they very quickly cut away. Learned from CNN, huh? Well, you could say that that might be a bit true. You could also not pay me to poll anywhere in the Middle East. Lovely folks, but heaven only knows what you need to ask to get a legitimate response. First off, they are by all accounts very hospitable. There's nothing worse for polling. Hospitable people are people pleasers under the circumstances that you're going to be working in when you're polling. That means that they will tell you exactly what they think you want to hear. And if you're polling in a crowded area, they will tell you exactly what they think everyone around them wants to hear. Poll them at home, and they will put on an extra helping of what you want to hear with a topping of whatever they think they're supposed to say. Poll online or on the phone, and your sample is crap because it can't possibly be representative, and the nice person will still tell you what they think you want them to hear. Don't laugh. The U.S. is just about as bad for very different reasons. Polling is pretty useless nowadays. It's an expensive thing to fix in the U.S., which is why only around election time is anyone doing the stuff they need to do to get a decent poll. It's frankly impossible to fix in the Middle East, at least for the foreseeable future. But that doesn't mean we don't have other options. Those man-on-the-street interviews I mentioned earlier, they aren't representative, but they can be indicative. It's really weird how many cutaways Al Jazeera have been making since the Gaza conflict began. That's an outlier. But so many that people have taken notice, that may, and I emphasize may, be a trend. It's definitely not an outlier. Outliers shouldn't pop up in clusters. They really shouldn't cluster around a short event. But not an outlier isn't the same thing as statistically significant. Let me say in no uncertain terms that this is not statistically significant, but it just might be an indicator of some underlying trend. But if you ask a Middle East analyst, they will tell you that the street is very strongly X or Y. I think it's the same phenomena I described earlier. Folks on the street will tell the pollster whatever they think the folks around them want to hear. Certainly, we see plenty of reactionary protests on the Arab street, so they may be representative of the real attitudes. Or not. Protests are easy to stage. In countries without a lot of home entertainment options, large crowds are easy to generate. It's more interesting to be out there than sitting home and reading a book. The nice people who just wanted to be a part of the group will obligingly shout the foulest crap at any that everyone around them expects. So, is this the real attitude, or is it an affect for the group? Is it both? Is it neither? Depends on how bored folks are, and no, I'm not kidding. But that doesn't mean the Middle East doesn't have legitimate organic protests. How do you assess them? The telltale hallmark is official intervention. Organic protests scare authoritarian governments, and the Middle East has no other kind of government. Large protests will almost always be government-sanctioned. If the protest is large and the police are trying to break it up, that is likely an organic protest. So is the Middle East really divided, or is it all just window dressing? They are incredibly divided, and it gets worse if you count the Islamic world and not just the Middle East. Religious factions beyond the major Sunni-Shia split exist. Ethnic factions abound. Political factions are even more numerous than the ethnic ones. And then you have the Iran-Saudi polarization. It's really amazing they haven't nuked each other long since. Mind you, this is why nuclear proliferation is a bad thing. Quite a few of those groups I just mentioned would use nukes if they could get them. Fortunately, so far, none of the nation-states proper show signs of being that suicidally stupid. At this point, only nation-states have the resources to develop actual nuclear weapons. The tech is not the problem. Fortunately, the fuel is. It's a Western pastime to see how many ways we can blame ourselves and our ancestors for whatever insane insanity grips whatever third-world nation. This one is all theirs. Colonization may have actually kept the lid on the pressure cooker longer than it would have otherwise held out. The Middle East was busily killing each other long before Europeans showed up. Europe probably didn't help and likely hurt at times, but it also didn't change much. Oh, except for Britain ending slavery as an open institution. That was a big change. And it came with consequences, big ones. Doing the right thing is no guarantee that nothing bad or stupid will happen as a result. Middle Eastern dependence on slavery then is part of its messed up status now. When you allow polygamy, you end up with a very big societal problem. You don't have enough native-born girls. Slavery is a quick solution. Remove slavery, but not polygamy, and suddenly you have way too many disgruntled young men who can't compete with older, wealthier men for for wives. The next quickest solution is intertribal warfare. Let the boys go beat each other's brains out. The survivors can raid the losers for wives. Those big bad Western sticks in the mud, Great Britain and later America, take all the fun out of this by insisting that grown-up nation-states settle matters as peaceably as possible. That wouldn't be so much of a problem if they hadn't both had such big proverbial sticks to make peaceable a lot more possible. Oh yeah, and then they discover oil. Wealth does not improve dysfunctional families. Wealth puts dysfunction on steroids with nation-states. Mind you, that's just one of a multitude of problems with forcing basically tribal and old-school empires into the 20th century. Don't look at us! The Middle Eastern powers have been pushing for modernity, minus the freedom part, since the British sailed up and demonstrated why arguing with cannons is a bad idea. I'd call the Middle East a train wreck, but that seems needlessly insulting to train wrecks. Yes, I'm on record calling the Middle East a lot more stable than it has been historically. I'll stick with that assessment. Being a ship in five simultaneous hurricanes is better than being the same ship in 15 simultaneous hurricanes. The Middle East is getting better. It just has a few million things to work out. While they're at it, they also have to deal with each other and the U.S. I know, I sound like the Middle East is a hopeless basket case. Well, it's not. The Arab Spring is a huge indicator that down deep, regular folks do want freedom and a better life. They want peace and prosperity. They just have to figure out how to get those things for themselves, and that process is tough. You can't just copy and paste the U.S. Constitution and call it a day. A government has to fit the culture without being shackled to it so that the culture leads the whole thing into self-destruction. It sounds a lot easier in a short commentary than it is in reality. But what doesn't? Christian organizations like Voice of the Martyrs have been noting for well over the last two decades that there's been a growth in Christian converts throughout the Middle East. Now, from a purely political assessment, that's an indicator of a cultural shift that, if it goes far enough, could lead to the freedom that the Arab Spring was seeking. Now, I don't mean a religious shift, necessarily. That's a discussion for another day. But the cultural one necessary for a sustained democratic-based system. It's the same system. It's the same cultural shift necessary to see religious changes as well. Something is happening where it matters. Something is happening in hearts and minds. No nation wakes up one day democratic. All cultural infrastructure necessary for the governmental systems that enshrine government by the people has to be built first. It's not a fun process, but the indicators point to a nascent movement in that direction. I think there's real hope for a free, prosperous Middle East in the long term. If they can just keep from nuking each other long enough to get there.